is going to have a shot here. Drills it from distance. Oh, it's an unbelievable strike! That is quite magnificent.
He's by far our best player and our most important player. You cannot not take Rooney, I don't think.
I'd have put odds on Swansea, Norwich and QPR being above Arsenal after seven games in the league.
Rooney! It defies description. How about sensational? How about superb?
This is the Footy Review Show on Radio Hope, with Phil Munns,
Danny Norton
and Dave Taylor.
Also available to download on iTunes.
Footy Review Show, downloadable on iTunes and live just for today and all other weeks. But you're probably not listening live because I don't think we get that many. But so if you are listening live, thanks for joining us. If you're downloading, thanks for downloading. We are very grateful. Who's we? Well, it's me, Phil Munns, Danny Norton.
Hello.
And Dave Taylor is not visible, but he should be heard via the...
What, are we visible?
Yeah,
it's a video podcast.
No one told me. He's not visual to me, is what I meant. I'm getting a ribbon already. The podcast is barely a minute old. Dave, how are you, mate?
I'm very good.
Excellent. Dave, tell us briefly, why aren't you here?
Oh, well, I'm off to watch Camel Earth play this evening, and with the Liverpool traffic, it would be a nightmare trying to get back in time, so...
Yeah, and that match day traffic down at Camel Earth must be a nightmare, I can imagine.
Well, I was thinking more over the Liverpool side than sort of Camel Earth, but either way.
I'm assuming you're definitely going to be back before midnight when the tunnels close. Anyone from not around here is, you know, that's a huge thing.
Yeah,
To be honest, if the game finishes at 9:45, I'm probably more than likely, being that I live 10 minutes away and traffic, I'll probably be back about 5:00.
Dave, seeing as I didn't have a clue before you told me, for those listeners who are out there thinking, who are Camel Lurds? What is Camel Lurds? Tell us about them, Dave. What division are they in and, you know, who are they?
Camel Lurds is a team from Birkenhead. There's two teams, obviously, from Birkenhead, Tranmere Rovers and Camel Lurds. Obviously, everyone's heard of Tranmere Rovers, the Super White Army. But Camel Lurds they play in the Evo Stick Northern Premier League Division 1 North, which is a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, get North in there a few more times.
Yeah, just in case you didn't know it was North, it's definitely a North league with tendencies of around about the 200 mark. So it's a good Saturday cheap game, and obviously Tranmere were away, so you got to show your support for the local teams.
Oh, so certainly are. We did. Fantastic stuff. Well, we're going to get straight into the teams that people actually know about a little bit later on. We'll be talking Premier League, of course, Championship. We'll also be looking at the key games in Europe, as well as a massive unbeaten run coming to an end last night. And, of course, Carling Cup action. It's certainly not the Mickey Mouse Cup when you look at the fixtures that are going on tonight and certainly tomorrow. But first of all, we are going to pay a few tributes to the late Gary Speed, who was found dead at his home on Sunday in Cheshire. Any personal favourite memories of Gary Speed, guys? I've got one. One thing that gets all... Because obviously I'm an Everton fan. He played for Everton for 58 games. And he got a goal in the derby, which automatically puts you in the great books of Everton greats. I watched the goal the other day, the glancing header from Andy Hinchcliffe's deep cross. Yeah. Showing just how good a player he was in the air. That's something I've heard a little bit recently and sort of shows, you know, for not the biggest of fellas, central midfield player, he was fantastic in the air, and him scoring that goal was just fantastic.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, being outside of this podcast, Liverpool fan, I haven't got really any, you know, personal memories such as that. I think, obviously, I'm sure fans of every club that he appeared for will have their own. And obviously fans of Wales as well. But I think for me, it's just someone, obviously, you know, growing up in the 90s, he was just one of those players who was there all the time. And although he was never, you know, what you might term a star in, you know, in the way that some of the other, you know, players were, I think a point that someone else made earlier on that I heard, I can't remember where, but said it's now when you actually look at the stats and facts which have come out in the, you know, and unfortunate circumstances that you realise, you know, just how good a player he was. The fact that, I would never have guessed that he was third in the Premier League all-time appearances. And that, which is a great, and I think he was the first past the 500 mark, which says a lot in itself, really. And yeah, I think just for me, it's like little things, just like watching him on Match of the Day, and I always remember he was one of the very few left-footed central midfielders. And that's whenever you used to do, like, say, like a dream team of the Premier League, he'd sometimes be in there just because he could use his left foot and that as well. And been reading up about him as well. I'm looking forward. I've got recorded the Leeds title win of 92-93, which I think ESPN Classic put on. So I'm looking forward to watching that as well, put that on in tribute to him. Because I was reading as well, apparently he started off as a winger, which I didn't know as well. And he's quite a flying winger, apparently, you know, obviously on the left-hand side. And yeah, so it's obviously just a gut and day all round, especially with what he was starting to build at Wales. We spoke about him, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, you know, talking about obviously in the international break, and he had four wins on the bounce, and he's taken Wales like over 70 places up the international rankings, and that's an incredible achievement, considering the short time period he was there, and you could see them really moving forward. So yeah,
certainly was. Dave, do you think that the legacy that he started to build at Wales, do you think that could be the ultimate best way to remember him long term, that someone can come up, pick up where Gary Speed started and built on, and make a great national side?
Definitely, as Dan said, and as something we've discussed, that they had to sort out, even though it was friendlies, they had to sort out the coefficient, which he's done an amazing job, which obviously everyone wish he would be carrying on, and so it is such a shame. And whoever comes in, yeah, they've got a great system in place now that does seem to be working for them. Some great young players, a lot of players playing in the Premier League now, which is obviously ideal for them for the progress. And it's just got to be carried on. It would be such a shame if his memory is lost because of one reason or another, but it's just a shame for football. Everything that he achieved, the amount of games he played in the Premier League shows that what a class act he was. The amount of high quality teams that he played for shows that he was well thought of and he was well respected. So
yeah, certainly a true brilliant footballer and a true gentleman as well. I've heard plenty of stories, one of them read out on Twitter, which was, you know, just sort of the simplest of stories that any of the regular fans may well have experienced. Someone who was a ball boy at Old Trafford once. Gary Speed was visiting with whatever team it was, I can't remember. And just the littlest things, when they were queuing up for autographs at the end, you know, he said Gary Speed didn't have to stop, have a chat, ask how we were when he was signing the autographs, but he did, because that was just the kind of gent he was, and plenty of tributes from his former teammates and everyone who knew him. So a truly great man, a truly great player, and a very sad loss for the world of football, certainly. Coming up, we'll be talking the Premier League action over the weekend, as well as the rest of the football in Europe.
Radio Hope, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on 1350 Medium Wave, or online at radio.hope.ac.uk. Radio Hope, Radio Hope, Radio Hope, Radio.
So we're talking Premier League now, and we're going to get straight into City and United dropping points. See that coming, Danny? United, first of all, at home to Newcastle.
I could actually. Funny enough, I had a drawdown on my coupon anyway, so
I had a
feeling about that, especially looking at the central midfield as well with United, with Carrick and Giggs, and it was just something about that. And I just had a feeling sometimes. I think United, they've not been at the top of their game recently. They've shored up the defence, but I think it's been at a cost in the fact that I think, you know, Rooney's not looked as dangerous in recent weeks. And I just had a feeling with it, they've just not been themselves. And even like last week when Newcastle lost their unbeaten record down the road from Old Trafford at Manchester City, they didn't play all that badly, and they had, and like we discussed on the pod last week, they had their chances. They had the woodwork a couple of times, and it was two soft penalties as well, which, you know, really gifted City the win. So I don't think it was that much of a surprise.
No, I didn't think so either. I thought Newcastle, I fully said, I regularly work with a Newcastle fan down at Blackpool, and I kept saying to him, I think you'll get something out of this, just the way United haven't been the dominant force that they have been in the recent past. And the way Newcastle were playing, you know, they weren't exactly battered by Man City, and confidence, I presume, was still high. And I could fully see them getting a draw, and that's what they did. But what about the penalty in which they got the draw? Definite no penalty for me.
Yeah, from... Yeah.
Go on, Dave.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a penalty. He quite clearly touched the ball, but those ones are given, aren't they? And it's one of those that the decision's given, but...
But are they given at Old Trafford, Dave?
Hey?
Are they given at Old Trafford? That's quite unheard of.
Well, it is. If it was United, it would have been given.
Well, yeah, well, that goes without saying, but it wasn't. It was for Newcastle, but, and the Stretford end as well.
Yeah, it's one of those... I think if United were on song and actually playing well, that one goal wouldn't have been an issue because they would have had two or three to back it up. I just think, as Dan was saying, there's something wrong there. They've obviously had a very weak defence, which they've looked to shore up, but it has come at a cost, and they don't seem to be as threatening going forward, which obviously they've played on.
Danny, can you point your finger on any particular reason, maybe a particular player who isn't performing for Man United, why things aren't going so smoothly?
I think it's just a team thing as much as anything else. Obviously, the shook to the core by the City defeat, which is natural. We only mean 6-1 to your noisy neighbours, as they call them. And I think it's from then that certainly they've moved from... They started off with a 4-4-2, swashbuckling, and with the two wingers, and really just flying forward. And, you know, we mentioned it, and it was mentioned elsewhere that in the early part of the season, they'd had more shots in their goal than any other team. So it was clearly there and likely to happen at some point. So, and they've moved to like the 4-2-3-1 now. But I think the key thing is really Rooney moving deep. I mean, we argued about it last week. I just can't see him working that deep. Just about the penalty decision as well. I think obviously it was the wrong decision, but I think Ferguson's comments were a bit harsh on that, and coming out and questioning whether the linesman should get a game again. You can't help but chuckle at Alan Pardew as well, because listening to Ferguson, I was thinking, well, I think you'd have a better point if when decisions like that go your way, which they often do, come out and be honest about it. Yeah. And whereas I think managers have this default setting, and Pardew was like it as well, where he agreed with it because you can't not just, you know, you can't not say it wasn't a penalty. But then he says, oh, but then we didn't get a few things. I just thought that was it was just funny, you know, the default management replies.
Yeah, afterwards. Of course. I think it'd be brilliant if they were just all honest about it, and you know, almost Mick McCarthy-esque, or even like Yakubu last week. Yeah, I didn't touch the ball. What are you going to do about it, basically? which is fantastic. Moving on to City and Liverpool, feisty game. Do you have a look at this one, Danny?
I did, yeah. I was I didn't watch it live, as I was travelling back from London, and so I had to rely on Twitter updates. But I did record the game and, you know, watched it all back, and extremely enjoyable game. It was a great Premier League game. I think it had a good tempo about it, and yeah, I think both teams respected each other. You could see that, but then they both knew that there was a chance to win it there as well. I think Liverpool started excellently in the first 5 minutes, but then Man City got on top, and were probably on top until the two goals, you know, towards the end of the half. And then from then on, it was just all Liverpool, I thought. And I think Liverpool can feel aggrieved that they didn't come away with 3 points. But
so, sort of similar to the United game at Anfield then?
Very much so, yeah, yeah. And Liverpool seem to have a good record against the bigger teams. It's only the Spurs game, which was, you know, it's just the one that sticks out, really.
That was away from home,
and it was just an atrocious performance all round, really. But they've got a good record. They've won away at Arsenal, won away at Chelsea, and, you know, played very well against United now. So I think
what was nice to see as well is that you talk about Man City, you look at the record, they have spent very big to get the best players. And you look at Liverpool's policy, they've spent quite a bit, but on young talent that they're going to nurture through. And for the two teams to go up against each other, it was good to see that it wasn't so one-sided, even though one team's looking to build for the future and one team's looking to buy the title.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think there was a good balance all round, really. But I think with Liverpool, it was as much a team effort as well, I think, in stopping, you know, City playing and you know, I think Lucas and Adam again, I mean, mentioned last week about how well they played at Chelsea and the fact that they had, you know, they were going to have to step it up another level. And, you know, they did that. I think, you know, Lucas, who I thought years ago when he first joined Liverpool, he had the potential there. And that, and had numerous arguments about it now. And he's the best defensive midfielder in the Premier League. There's no doubt about that.
Ooh, Dave, do we agree with that?
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Lucas. I'm with Dan. I've had arguments in the past that he was rubbish player. For a young lad to come to a different country, play out of position. Obviously, he was an attacking player before he's come to England, been given a defensive role. It's not the easiest thing to go about, but he was getting stuck in. If you actually looked at the stats every season, he was always there or thereabouts with a good performer, but always had the bad reputation. And it's good to see that now he's actually shining through.
Yeah, he's very much a big game player as well. I mean, I think it was in the Times, one of the columnists in there saying that, oh, who would have thought a year ago Lucas would dominate a game? But a year ago, he dominated Chelsea at Anfield. And if you look at every big game, he seems to be the player who really takes it by the scruff of the neck. I mean, and if you look at the players that are on show there, I mean, David Silva, who's probably the best player in the Premier League at the moment. Mm. And then you have, obviously, Aguero, you know, Nasri, Yaya Toure as well. And the fact that he stood out, I think, really... I think people are finally starting to see it now.
Yeah, it is very interesting. He did seem to be... And it was just the end of last year, I think, I saw abuse flying in for Lucas from Liverpool fans. Useless. What are we doing? Get him out and things. But the fact that he's turned around that much and, you know, you say he wasn't even that bad a year ago. So it's...
No, well, he was Liverpool's player of the year last year.
Yeah.
And that, and, I mean, I personally think that... When he first came in, he was either playing in place of Steven Gerrard, Javier Mascherano, or Xabi Alonso. And, you know, 20-year-old, you know, in a new continent, never mind a new country, coming in. And he's not really like any of those kind of players. But I think it shows his mental fortitude, the fact that he's, you know, worked hard through all the stick and come out a better player.
Mental fortitude. Well done on getting that one in there. Nice.
It just popped into my head.
Yeah, right, moving on now to Liverpool and Newcastle. For the rest of this season, not based a little bit on these performances, but on, you know, the season so far as well. Do you think that Liverpool will turn a corner, B, Newcastle can go and get back to winning ways?
Yeah, I think Liverpool have got a better chance. I think Newcastle will slip a bit, and I think they're going to stay reasonably steady, but probably fall just outside the European or take one of the last European spots. Where Liverpool, I feel, can move on from this, need to take full advantage and actually look to push for that fourth place in the Champions League, which I do think is going to be a bit of a challenge. But when you're drawing 1-1 against Man City, anything's sort of possible, and they've just got to pick a game off and just make sure that they show the same sort of commitment against the lower teams, which in the past has been a bit of a downfall.
Yeah, I think that's the absolute key for Liverpool. I mean, they talk about the home record so far this year, which, you know, isn't the best. 2 wins and 5 draws. You know, those draws like Sunderland, Swansea, Norwich, 3 of them really where you'd expect them to get, you know, full points. And looking at Liverpool's, you know, run of fixtures in the league from now on, you know, coming up to when they play the Newcastle in the last game of, you know, the calendar year, there's a run of fixtures there that they've got to be looking at to really set their stall out and really, you know, get themselves in the top four. Much like Tottenham have done. I mean, we see how Tottenham have on an excellent run at the moment, really are, after the 2 losses to the Manchester clubs. And they've played a lot of the weaker sides, but they've, you know, they've made the most of it.
Yeah.
They're in third now.
You've linked in nicely to Spurs there. Another win for them, 3-1 over West Brom this weekend. Quick question about Adebayor. 2 goals for him, and, you know, 3 goals in 2, I think, which is, you know, great. But he missed a penalty and had something like 9 or 10 shots on target. Is that more of a worry for you, or is it, you know, a good thing that he's getting his goals in still?
That's a good thing, isn't it, that he's getting 9 or 10 shots on target? I think the stats said something like Spurs had 13 shots in the whole game. It's the fact that he's had 10 or 11 of them and have been on target as well. You know, and he is scoring goals. I think he's been a revelation, and it's no coincidence that Spurs' great run of form has come in the wake of the signing of Scott Parker and Adebayo.
Certainly has, and they've both been dominating. Jermaine Defoe's being rumoured to be going out on loan in January, I think due to his England aspirations. What are your thoughts on that, Dave?
He's not going to really get the England team sat on the bench. If Capello, and I think rightly when he first said, if you're not performing for your club, you shouldn't be in the England team, which is the right way to do it. Obviously, I don't think what he said he's actually backed up over time. But if he's not playing, he shouldn't be in the squad. That's the end of it. If there's other players getting in front, or he's not getting the time, or he's running out of the reserves, it's not good enough. Whereas, like, there's players that are playing every week in, week out, performing, that potentially aren't getting a game that there should be. So I think he does need to go out. And hopefully he'll get a good club where he does get half a season good run. If he can get 10 goals in that last half a season, he can put a challenge in for the final squad.
Chelsea are back to winning ways. They beat Wolves 3-0, all the goals coming in the first half. How much could we read into this performance? Is it much of a turning point, or is it more, you know, Wolves not turning up so much?
Well, a win's a win, I think, at the same time. But Wolves, again, being a team who have been out of form, really. They started the season well, but have nosedived a lot since then. So it was a must-win game for Chelsea. I think when you consider coming up, obviously they play Liverpool in the Carling Cup tonight, and then they've got Newcastle at the weekend. I think they've got some tough fixtures coming up as well. They play Valencia in the Champions League in a must-win game. Then after that, they play Manchester City. So they've got, certainly the next four games are crucial for them. So they have to get that win under their belt, because, you know, most people at the start of the season were talking about them as being title contenders, whereas now it's evident that really they'll be part of the battle for fourth, which is great for the neutrals and the fact that there's so many teams now. But it's more for Chelsea, wouldn't have thought really that there'd be any question about them being in the Champions League. But now I think the key for them is Mata. I mean, two assists at the weekend and one goal. It's as long as they can keep on getting the best out of him. And I think build the team around him a lot as well. I think we've seen the difference it made when he went into the centre of the pitch against Liverpool last week, although they still lost the game. You know, they went from being dominated to dominating a lot to a large degree because he was pulling the strings in the middle. So I think that's the key as well. And the form of Daniel Sturridge as well, scoring again. And they seem to have a good link-up play as well. So,
any concerns over Arsenal's drop points at home to Fulham? Or is it just a mere blip in their fine run?
I'd say it's a blip, so to speak, because they have played quite well. But the worrying thing for me would be that there didn't seem to be much urgency in them. You know, I was watching the game. It took a bit too long, and you know, the crowd was you know, really, really quiet as well. I think they needed a bit of encouragement, and I think it was just one of those games. And Fulham are a good team. It's, you know, I mean, and you've seen, like, you know, for example, Liverpool drop points and Chelsea have drop points at home as well. So it won't be that much of a worry, really.
No, but a team that I've sort of jumped up the league in recent weeks, Dave, is Everton. They were in the bottom four a couple of weeks ago, two wins, and all of a sudden they're sitting eighth. What do you think's coming up for them this season now? Can they push on to that second half of the season form, which has been so common in recent years?
Yeah, well, Everton have always dug deep, especially when things just don't seem to be going right all the time. For a long time now, they've not really had money or much money. They've reinvested quite a lot of the money that they've sold players. But I don't really had any doubt that they would come through. Obviously, every team goes on a bit of a bad run. We were just talking about Arsenal, where they are now to where they were before is unbelievable. And, yeah, Everton, they've got a good set of players. They do desperately need one or two more players. I think if the likes of Saha or Fellaini or some of those got a major injury, it would cause a few stresses. But I see them sitting around the mid-table spot. I don't see them pushing higher than what they are at the moment, but not really dropping too many places after that.
Yeah, I think as well, it's when you look at the table, there's 5 points separating 8th and 17th, so, you know, Everton have had two good wins, so it just shows, it's one of the cliches that gets thrown out, a couple of wins, and you know, you're challenging for Europe, but at the moment, you're not quite challenging for Europe, but you can jump up into the top half of the table. It shows, I think, you know, obviously the top seven, there's a bit of a gap there as well. They're, you know, pulled away. So the middle, it's all to play for, really, when it comes to, you know, league position.
It certainly is all to play for, and there's a half-decent run of fixtures for Everton in the coming month or two, which we'll talk about in future pods. At the bottom, uh-oh, crisis at Sunderland. Wigan get a vital 3 points, and Steve Bruce is in huge trouble.
Yeah, it's a surprising one with Sunderland, really, but they do tend to be a team. Remember last season, they go on runs, and whether it's a good run or a bad run. I think I remember around February last year, they didn't get a win, and I don't think they scored a goal for a fair number of weeks as well. But they'd had this superb run of form over Christmas, which put them, I think, up in fourth place for a short while as well, I'm pretty sure I remember. So who knows, he could turn around, but obviously what happened over the summer, I think they made a lot of changes, and they've not got over the sale of Darren Bent yet, I don't think. And obviously the acrimonious circumstances in which Asamoah Gyan left.
And Henderson, of course.
Yeah, well, that was just, I think they might look at that and think they got a good deal with £16 million coming in, but that was near the start of the summer as well. So, but I mean, I think the circumstances in which Gyan left is in at the very end of the window. And you could see that Steve Bruce was furious about it as well. So he obviously didn't have any time to bring in a replacement. And then Conor Wickham, who scored a couple of goals and then has got injured, it's just not going their way at the moment. And yeah, I think they should give him the chance, though. I mean, he has, you know, made a lot of changes. Give him a chance to, you know, build a team there. I think they'll be safe at the end of the season, you know, just because I think certainly Wigan and Blackburn will be two of the teams to go down. And it's just one more. I don't know who.
Dave, is it Steve Bruce's time to go?
No, you can't give a manager that much investment and then a couple of months down the line get rid of him. There's obviously a plan in place to make that much wholesale changes. And I do think they've got to give it a go. I don't think they're going to go down this season. I do think there's weaker. I do see Blackburn and Wigan going, and probably Wolves, I would have thought, maybe. But I see them pulling a few results together. Let's get the team gelled. Yeah, I don't think it's helped on the forward line with all the strikers going, with the injuries as well. But you've got to stick with it. In terms of goals scored, they've scored 15, they've conceded 15. Teams around them have conceded more. Not really scored as much, so it's just a case of a few more goals and keeping it tidy at the back. So, but I think at least till the end of the season and then reassess it.
Carling Cup, Championship and Europe all to come on the podcast. Stay tuned.
Radio Hope, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on 1350 Medium Wave, or online at radio.hope.ac.uk. Radio Hope, Radio Hope, Radio
Hi, Hope. Hi, it's David Beer, and you're listening to the Footy Review Show.
You certainly are, and we're going to be talking Championship right about now. Any of you guys see any of the action from the weekend?
No, I've still got the Football League show on Sky Plus. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Well, I'll talk you through it then, just before you
spoil it for me.
Yeah, well, I'm going to spoil it.
I only meant
for
to
you.
Say the whole, you know, if you don't want to know the results, you know, turn over now.
Well, no, because otherwise people will turn off the podcast and then we'll lose listeners.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to do that. We'll keep the listeners. You catch any of it, Dave?
I didn't, to be honest. I was deep in Evo Stick Premier League North, Division 1 North, or whatever it was called.
So you're in an Evo Sticky situation?
I certainly was. I'll see what you did there.
Oh dear. I'll get me coat for that one.
Yeah.
But moving on anyway, and the result of the weekend arguably is Bristol City stunning Southampton to pick up their fourth win in five. And it has to be said, despite having two very jammy deflected goals, they thoroughly deserved their win. Watching and reading the match reports and watching the highlights, as you two didn't, they played very well and they dominated Southampton for large parts of that game. Thoroughly deserved their win, and they're on a great run, and good luck to them. West Ham, they closed the gap as they came from behind to beat Derby. They overpowered them in the end, and they were always dominant despite going behind. A fantastic volley from Kevin Nolan, getting rid of some of the critics. That's one of the goals of the weekend in terms of the Championship to look out for. It really was a stunning effort from the...
What about Carlton Cole? Apparently he's had a few critics as well, hasn't he, recently?
Well, yeah, he has had a few critics, but one thing's got to be said, he's still scoring goals.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, the critics can't last for too long if he does so. I mean, you know, the other week he got one of the most fortunate goals I've ever seen in a game against Coventry. But other than that, I mean, I think he's always had its critics. And while he was in the Premier League, I won't deny that I was the biggest one of them. And I didn't rate him in terms of a Premier League striker. But the Championship, I think he'll be more than dominant. And I think he could easily get himself, you know, a 20-goal season. Mm. And he's already getting a few so far.
Is he linking up well with Nolan as well? Because obviously that was one of Newcastle's big ploys, you know.
Yeah,
well, wasn't it? Having Nolan,
I haven't
picking
noticed
up the
too
traps.
Much of them linking up together. But at the end of the day, they're playing in the same team. They're scoring goals still, and they're winning matches. So it can't be going too wrong for them. Is all I can say on the matter, which is just about that in terms of West Ham. But Cardiff are another team that are closing in. Just one defeat in seven for them, beating Forest 1-0. And they're a team that are really sort of powering forward now. And they're always there or thereabouts in the promotion race, whether it be playoffs or auto. But I wouldn't bet against them sneaking into those auto places at the current form, anyway.
So do you think we could have a Welsh derby in the Premier League next year?
Quite. If it's based on the current form, then yes. Mm. I would say yes. Because it's well known that sort of normally someone drops off who's in the top race. And if a couple of injuries come in, I would fear for Southampton slightly, I think.
Yeah.
I think they could falter. But obviously I could be wrong. I normally am. So
we've discussed this.
So we'll see Southampton celebrating winning the league in March now. but a couple of 5-goal thrillers in the Championship, which made for fine watching indeed. Firstly, 5 defeats on the bounce for Paul Jewell and Ipswich after sort of recovering from a stuttering start, sort of fallen by the wayside again. And for the second time in a week, they conceded 2 goals when they were 2-1 up and leading and went on to lose. This time, they both came in stoppage time, which is heartbreaking for any club. But it clearly indicates that something's not quite going right for Ipswich and Paul Jewell at the moment. Thrillers they certainly were. The other thriller was Burnley, and probably the more impressive comeback. They were 2-0 down with 12 minutes to go, and they scored 3 goals in 14 minutes to cap a remarkable turnaround for Eddie Howe's men. And they felt fallen victim in the last couple of games to late goals. Leeds it was in the last one after leading that game. So perhaps, you know, they're finally getting the rub of the green in that one. Maybe Eddie Howe can get them on a run, you know, a sort of decent young manager. Hasn't quite been coming off for him yet at Burnley. They're not doing too well in the league, but it's the kind of result, and the way they got the result can be a turnaround for any side, and it could well trigger some sort of run. So I'd look out for them in the coming weeks. Now, I'm going to sound a bit like a broken record, but if you want to see spectacular goals in the Championship, the best bet would be to get down to Bloomfield Road, because I was there again at the weekend doing the commentary, and it was a 2-2 draw between them and Birmingham. And a wonderful curler from Neil Eardley, competing with Kevin Nolan's volley for goal of the weekend in the Championship. It was rolled back to him by Luar, who had a fine game, by the way. He seems to have been a very shrewd pickup for Ian Holloway. The ball was rolled back by him, first time, smacked it and curled it. I can only describe it as Beckham-esque, curling with pace into the far corner, and it was a fantastic strike.
Just about that Luar, is it the ex-Newcastle and Portsmouth Luar? Because there's a few Luar about.
Democratic Republic of Congo International also, yes, Lamana Luar. That is the one.
He's still flipping all over the place as well.
He did flip, I think, in one of the games. I can't remember. It was an away game, so I can't remember. I haven't seen him score. Seen him score at Bloomfield yet, but he looks like he's lost a yard or two of pace. Because if you remember, he was quite a quick player when he played for Newcastle and Portsmouth. He doesn't seem to be as quick now. But one thing that has impressed me a lot about him is he's excellent on the ball. He can keep it well. He's quite strong for someone of his size as well, and he knows what to do with the ball as well. Setting up 2 of the goals on Saturday shows just how sort of important he could be for Blackpool this year after picking him up, after bringing him on trial on a free transfer. But Birmingham showing great character to get back into the game. Nikola Zigic come on as a second-half substitute. He missed an absolute sitter about a minute before, brilliantly taking down a cross to control it and whack it into the back of the net. But it was, his goal was quite clever in that the cross came in, he was beyond the last man, came to him on about the penalty spot. Any normal striker would have hit it first time on that, not knowing where the defenders are. He cleverly took a touch and it just rolled in front of him on the 6-yard line, and you're not going to miss when the ball's on the ground from that sort of distance. Because I was going to say you weren't going to miss from that sort of distance, but he did a minute
I'm sure one of us could miss.
Well, yeah, probably. I've not seen the other two of you play football yet, but I know I would certainly miss. I don't think I ever scored in my brief playing career. Doncaster and Coventry are the two joint bottom after Doncaster's point against Watford. A couple of derbies as well that should be mentioned. Palace and Millwall drawing 0-0 with a missed penalty from Palace, making it 5 games without a goal for them, which is quite a worry after they've had a decent start to the Championship as well. But they face Manchester United tomorrow night, I think is correct in saying.
Wednesday for our pod listeners.
Wednesday, yeah. I need to start saying days rather than tomorrows, and because you don't want to be tuning in on Friday thinking, excellent, Palace United, and then finding out you're gonna be stuck with some Evo Stick Northern Premier game that's on Satanta Sports.
I wouldn't knock the Evo Stick Northern Premier League, to be honest, until you've seen it. It's a very, very dramatic game with some instances that would have made the Premier League stand up, so until you've seen it, I wouldn't go knocking it.
Yeah. We'll go there this weekend instead.
No, yeah, we'll do a live broadcast. Yeah. We could do a live broadcast from the Evo Stick Northern Premier. I don't know what the grounds are called, I must admit.
You just like the sponsorship name, don't you? That's all it's about for you.
I think Evo Stick, you get a few puns in there as well, which is great. It's better than the Unibond, which was what Telford United, my local team from the day, played in when they went into liquidation. Which was, you know, featured.
Certainly better than Blue Square, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't really do much with that.
No, you can't really. Blue Square, it's not the most exciting of sponsorship names. But maybe we could think of a few more, some companies that would make great sponsorship names. But we'll get on to that later on indeed. We're going to be talking Europe and Carling Cup very shortly, and also Europa League. The fifth game in the group stage will be taking place this midweek, Wednesday and Thursday, rather than just Thursday this time, as there's no Champions League. All those to come in our final bit of the pod.
Radio Hope, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on 1350 Medium Wave, or online at radio.hope.ac.uk. Radio Hope, Radio Hope, Radio
Hope. Footy Review Show on iTunes.
Just to go back, just because a quick mention, you mentioned in the Championship there's a few 3-2s, and one with just had a couple of goals in stoppage time, but this takes some beating here. I've seen in the top at the Blue Square bet, there was a game, Alfreton against Hayes and Yedding, and it was 1-0 going into, you know, with 1 minute to go, basically, to the home team, Alfreton, and I don't know the order of the goals because I'm only looking at it in the paper here, but there were 4 goals in injury time. So cool. It ended 3-2 to the home team, Alfreton. There was an own goal.
Alfreton, I think it's pronounced.
Alfreton, I do apologise.
Apologising to any listeners from Alfreton.
Exactly, so, yeah, sorry.
Alfreton Town.
So that, I think that takes some beating. I'm quite intrigued to see in which order the goals went in, whether it went to 3-0 and suddenly there was 2 goals back, or whether it swayed to and fro.
Well, I think if there's an advert not to beat the traffic, I'm not sure how it is around Alfreton, but if there's any advert not to get out and beat the traffic, I think that's it.
Yeah. My question as well is, in the paper here it says there were 600 present. I wonder how many people left when it was 1-0 with a minute to go.
Well, I don't agree with people leaving early, even when you're losing.
Nor do I, but it happens. So
it does. I don't know why.
As if you're at that game, then you get back home and, you know, a family member says, oh, what an end day, 3-2. What?
I just don't get it, because sometimes, like, if you're going to a game in the Premier League and you're paying £30-40 for a match ticket, and then you leave when the score is level or 1-0 down, going into the last minute, and then you equalise, that's the best moment of the game. That's surely what makes that £40 worth
it. Of course. I remember as a kid getting taken to the game by a family friend, and it was Liverpool against Tottenham Hotspur, and it was 0-0. It was a dire game. And to beat the traffic, you know, he was saying to me, oh, let's go, let's go. I think it must have been about 8 at the time. And I just steadfastly refused. Like, no, no, no. Mm. Because once, not until the final whistle, and Ronnie Rosenthal scored with like the last kick of the game. So I remember being rather, you know, joyous and very much, you know, you almost made me miss that. Yeah. Afterwards, but no, sticking my ground.
I told you so.
That's the phrase I was looking for.
So the Footy Review Show message of morale is don't leave games early.
No. Get your money's worth.
You missed the
just
best
to,
bits.
Give you, I've just had a look on the website, and the Alfreton's order went Alfreton 1-0 going into injury time, then Hayes equalised, and then I think Hayes scored again, which then went for Alfreton to equalise, with Alfreton scoring the third in the
that's superb.
6 minutes of extra time.
Wow,
that's a great order for them to superb. Go in as well.
We need to highlight that somehow. We'll try and find highlights and put it on our Facebook page. Definitely. I'm sure they'll be out there somewhere.
Of course.
I don't think there's cameras at the ground.
All right. Well, next week we'll send Dave Taylor along to Alfreton Town to bring us live reports.
There we go. Yeah, that's your job.
Yeah, that's your role for next week. Forget the Evo stick. You're going down to Alfreton.
Okay.
Right. Moving on now to across to the continent. No Evo stick leagues out there, Danny. But a Barcelona result that's worth talking about.
Yeah. They lost 1-0 the weekend to Getafe. So, first loss since April, and it now means that they are 6 points off the leaders, Real Madrid, who won 4-1 in the Madrid derby against Atletico, which isn't a surprise result at all. I don't think Atletico have beaten Real Madrid since 1999. So, 12 years now, which is... And the Madrid fans, well, held up a banner, apparently, at the end of the game as well, asking for a worthy derby. And that because, you know, just obviously to mock Atleti's misery. So, yeah, elsewhere in Spain, Valencia remained third because they won 2-1 at Rayo Vallecano. And Levante, the, you know, early season surprise package, they've lost the last three games, but they ended that streak winning 4-0 against Gijon. So they remain up in Champions League place, up in fourth place there.
I love that name, Gijon.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, you talked about great goals in the Championship earlier. I think there's one which beats anything that you can offer. Anything you can do, Real Sociedad can do better.
Oh, right.
They travelled to Real Betis, and it was 2-2, and in the last minute... I've forgotten the name of the... I should have wrote down the name of the scorer, but there was a Sociedad player who scored from his own half. He looked up, seen the keeper off his line, and a left foot. He was quite near the touchline as well, so it was like a diagonal shot. It was a superb strike it was. So,
would you say there was any major keeper error in there, or was it just that momentary lapse of being off his line that did it?
Well, I think if you look at most keepers anyway, they're never going to be on their line.
No.
And I think, I don't know whether the run of play beforehand, whether that led to the keeper coming out, but he was on like towards the edge of his area. But I think, basically the player, from what, you know, I've watched it, and he does look up just for that, you know, brief second, and yeah, it was a great strike, but there was nothing the keeper could have done really, because it went in right under the bar, so it was obviously a great strike there. So yeah, that's Spain for you.
Audacious. What about Italy?
Italy, well, Juventus played Lazio in a top of the table clash in Rome, and came away with a 1-0 win, so Juventus are still unbeaten, and they are now top of the table, and they have a game in hand as well.
Do they play tonight, Danny?
They do, actually, yeah. They play Napoli tonight, which puts me in an awkward position. I don't know what game to watch tonight. There's a few tasty ones tonight. We'll talk about the League Cup shortly, but
yeah.
That one is... yeah, it's on ESPN, but they're 45 minutes behind. I was looking at the schedule before, because Hamburg play Rangers in a friendly. So, for what I think, obviously, Rangers' financial state, but for whatever reason, ESPN have still fit to put that on and, you know, show the this, you know, great Italian clash 45 minutes behind. So
ridiculous.
Yeah, but, champions Milan are now in second place. They're on a great run of form, and they beat Chievo Verona 4-0 at the San Siro. Udinese beat Roma 2-0 to stay in third, and... despite beating Siena 1-0 away, Internazionale remain in 15th place.
Low for Internazionale.
Yeah.
Anything else in Europe to report?
Well, in Germany, Bayern Munich lost again. They've started the season brilliantly, but it's now three losses in the last five games. They lost 3-2 at Mainz, which meant they've now dropped to third place behind the Borussias. Dortmund winning 2-0 in the Ruhr Derby against Schalke. And Mönchengladbach, who, surprise package as well, fought relegation for most of last season, are up in second place now because they won 3-0 at Cologne. And the two Borussias play this weekend as well, so that'll be a top-of-the-table clash to look out for. It's at Mönchengladbach as well, so could be another surprise result in the offing. And over in France, Marseille beat their arch rivals and a team who were top of the league, Paris Saint-Germain, a big spending capital club, 3-0. So Paris Saint-Germain are now winless in the last three games and have dropped to second, which have meant Montpellier are now top after beating Schau 3-1. And Joe Cole's Lille, the reigning champions, are up to third after a 2-0 win against Brest.
Brilliant stuff. So anything else in Europe to cover, or have you covered all the results now?
Well, the results are covered.
Brilliant.
Are you intrigued to find out what's going on this weekend?
I'm extremely intrigued. Any big ones this weekend?
Italy has a few juicy games on the offering. There's Genoa against AC Milan. Genoa, quite a Jekyll and Hyde team. I think they've got a couple of good results in the big games so far this year. Inter Milan are at home to Udinese, who, as I mentioned earlier, up in third place and have a great team there, and they're very good on the counter-attack. And Inter are just looking lost, despite the win at the weekend. They're just still not quite clicking into gear yet. Napoli host Lecce, Fiorentina host Roma, and Juventus host Cesena. In Spain, Madrid travel to Gijon, Barca host Levante, and Valencia against Espanyol. It's a good one. And obviously Germany, already mentioned Mönchengladbach against Dortmund, and Bayern Munich play Werder Bremen, who I think are up near the top of the table, either fourth or fifth place at the moment.
Juicy clashes in Europe indeed. Coming up, we're going to be talking Carling Cup and Europa League.
Radio Hope, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on 1350 Medium Wave, or online at radio.hope.ac.uk. Radio Hope. Radio Hope. Radio
so, Hope. Carling Cup, often known as the Mickey Mouse Cup, but when you look at the fixtures that are going on tonight, Dave, I don't think that we can really call it that.
Sorry, the line's gone very crackly.
So I was just talking about the Carling Cup, Dave, often known as the Mickey Mouse Cup. Some juicy ties this evening. Any in particular that you have your eye on?
Well, I've been looking at the Arsenal game, and I think there's the problem that I've got with the League Cup is they don't put the full teams out. I think it takes the edge off the games, and whereas like you used to look at them and think, oh yeah, there'll be a cracking game. I don't think the teams, but especially the higher up teams, the ones where you would ideally get a juicy game, isn't as juicy as possibly could. Man City are going to be resting players because I know Mancini's been out moaning about playing two games in so many days. Arsenal's already said they're going to put a weakened team out. I can't imagine Chelsea and Liverpool playing the team that played at the weekend. So then it just leaves the Cardiff-Blackburn game, which is a very close game, even though they are on different leagues. If memory serves me right, they're only a couple of places away from each other. So
four, apparently Cardiff are the favourites as well for it.
Are they actually? I would back them to win tonight. I didn't know they were actually match favourites.
But I think it goes to show, really, and If you were a bookmaker, I think you would put Cardiff as favourites, especially considering recent form. And as Dave says, I think perhaps it's the other way around. Really, I think I can see Blackburn putting out a weekend team as much as anyone simply to focus on the league. But I think just going back to your point there, Dave, do you not think the fact that you have got Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, Chelsea, and Liverpool there? So I think they are, some of these clubs are taking it seriously. They will inevitably make changes, but when you look at some of the players that all those sides are going to bring in, there's still some great players on there to watch, and I think all the bigger clubs see the League Cup as just a trophy to win, to take the pressure off and to build momentum in going for, you know, other trophies at the end of the season. I think tonight's clashes will be quite tasty. I think you'll have players come in who are wanting to make a point, perhaps, and, you know, stake a claim for a regular starting place.
Well, I think that's the good thing about it. I think it is a chance for those sort of players to show you what they can do, and they'll be giving it 100%.
Especially when you consider as well at Stamford Bridge, there will be £85 million worth of reserve striking talent on offer.
Incredible. I do hope that...
Apparently £85 million, sorry, anyway.
Apparently. Yeah, of course. Speculation. I got my words mixed up then. But I hope Romelu Lukaku gets a game, because I think he looks quite a talent from what I've seen.
He's a beast. I think his calves look bigger than my thighs.
I think beast is the correct word.
Yeah, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing him, you know, after he gets used to the Premier League, and as he develops, I think there's potential there for him to be a tremendous player.
Any problems for United against Palace?
I can't see it. No, I think United will steamroller them, to be honest. And
so they're putting out a weakened side as well, would you say?
Well, there'll be changes in there, but again, it's the same as the other teams. There'll still be world-class players.
Owen and Berbatov.
Well,
it's not exactly bad, is it, Dave?
I don't think they're going to have much of a struggle. But again, being a Tranmere fan, we've had some great nights at Prenton Park where the big teams come expecting to batter. And these teams, the upper game, it is their cup final, whatever round it is. When you've got Man United, you're playing Man United. When you're playing a Premier League team, it's your cup final. And all the fans turn out. The fans are louder. Players are more up for it. They're fighting for every ball. They're in the face trying to get it back. And there is the possibility that there could be an upset. And that's the joy of these cups that we have in England, that there are upsets. That the team that everyone expects doesn't normally make it to the final.
Certainly be interesting ties one way or another taking place tonight and tomorrow night. Also taking place this week, Europa League. And I'm actually quite keen to discuss the Europa League. I know others would disagree and others don't see it quite as... Oh, Danny, don't do that. Why? The Europa League is a decent European competition.
I'm only winding you up. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's brilliant. I think, you know, he's had some great finals there. Certainly being a Liverpool fan, 2001, 5-4 against Alaves, you know. I do think it's been a competition and a trophy that's been slightly diminished by UEFA. I don't think they've certainly not helped the competition out. But it's when it gets to the latter stages it really gets interesting, because you do always have big teams in there. I mean, a semi-final last year with the Portuguese Giants, Benfica and Porto. The final itself, you know, against Braga. So, yeah, I do apologise, Phil. Don't cry.
Well, it's okay. Well, we're going to go into it anyway. Stoke are a team that's really impressing me in terms of Europe. They only need a draw against Dynamo Kiev, or indeed their final group game to qualify. And they could even qualify with a defeat tonight, depending on if the other game, I think if it ends in a draw, they will go through, or one way or another, that they could go through still with a defeat. I just find it fantastic. And I was speaking to a Stoke City journalist earlier about how these teams in Europe don't seem to know what to do when Stoke come. They don't know how to deal with their unusual Europe style in terms of European games, it seems. And I've just been, you know, baffled and interested by seeing how teams react to playing Stoke City.
Well, I've not really seen many of the Europa League games, but I do like the fact that they are taking it seriously as well. Obviously, more seriously than I perhaps take it at this stage. But I think it's great for clubs like Stoke as well, where it's the first European adventure. I mean, I don't know if they've had one, you know, before. I think if they won a trophy decades ago and got into Europe that way. But certainly for the fans, I think for the fans of the bigger clubs, they see it differently. Whereas for fans of, you know, teams like Stoke, it is a new experience, and it is something different, and it's something to look forward to. Especially, you know, playing the likes of Besiktas with the kind of atmosphere they generate as well. And it's a trophy at the end of the day. And it's a funny thing, really, where you get so many clubs like this who we've seen in the past, like Aston Villa and Bolton. They work so hard to get in there, And once they're in there, they feel we can see them. Something like Bolton, I think in the last 16 or the quarterfinals a few years ago, went to Spain and Gary Megson sent the reserves. And it was, you know, why when he got the chance to get to a final?
Aston Villa did the same thing
to Moscow and ended up reimbursing their fans who travelled all the way. And thinking, well, the teams who, they're not going to win the league, they're not going to get in the Champions League at the moment. And, you know, still got to the FA Cup final and that, but that's about as good as it's going to get really domestically. So why not go for it and get a bit of European glory?
Certainly. And the journalist who works for ESPN, James Whittaker, was saying he thinks they can go all the way, genuinely, just because of the different style they have and how well they are doing at the moment in Europe, which is, you know, strong words and not too far inaccurate, I wouldn't say. Spurs and Birmingham, they're still in the balance. There's only 1 point in the top three with Spurs, and there's no points within the top three in Birmingham's group.
Yeah, I think Spurs have still got to play Shamrock Rovers away.
Who haven't got a single point yet.
Yeah, so I think when you look at it that way, you think, well, they should still qualify, at least, you know, with that game to go. I mean, Shamrock, that was one of the Europa League games I have watched this year when Shamrock went there and went 1-0 up. And that was a great story in itself, but you'd expect Spurs to qualify there.
Celtic would need a result due to other fixtures they have and to avoid going out, really. They are, I think, 2 points behind the front two at the moment. But they, looking at the fixtures, they would probably need a result tonight, or they could well be looking at going out early on. But a win for Fulham sees them through. Again, could go through, even if they lose. That's if Odense and Wisla Krakow ends in a draw. Which almost brings us to an end on the Footy Review Show for this week. Some key weekend fixtures to look ahead to. Newcastle taking on Chelsea in the Prem. In the Championship, there's some tight action as well. Doncaster against Southampton in a top versus bottom clash. And Hull versus Leicester will certainly be tasty with the managerial changes which have been going on there. But most importantly, Dave, Evo Stick fixtures. List them off now. Go.
I haven't got them to hand, sorry.
Don't you know them?
It's not as easy to find. You've got to go into the depths of the internet to find. And I've not got them handy, but I know Camelaids are playing tonight against Salford City, which should be good after they recorded the second victory of the weekend against Durham. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent.
I know you want to just brush off the Premier League, because I don't know, you're being a bit funny about it at the moment, but I think, just quickly about the bottom three, I think we could see them get separated even further. I think I can just see the bottom three all losing this weekend, Bolton going to Spurs, Blackburn hosting Swansea, and I can see Swansea getting a result there the way they've been playing recently, and Wigan hosting Arsenal. So I think there could be a bit of a cut off there.
Interesting. I might peg Wigan for a little bit of an upset
over Arsenal.
Some strange looks, and I'm presuming Dave sort of just dropped the phone in shock. Dave?
Yeah, I think you're off your head.
All right, well, we'll see. That's my audacious shout for the week. Thanks very much for downloading. Thanks very much for listening to the Footy Review Show. As always, you can catch up with us on Twitter and Facebook. The Footy Review Show is our Twitter name, and search Footy Review Show on Facebook, where we post regular polls and hopefully a few little highlights we've talked about in today's show. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks very much for downloading. I've been Phil Munns with Danny Norton.
I still am Danny Norton.
He still is Danny Norton. And Dave Taylor, are you still Dave Taylor?
As far as I know, I am,
yeah. Are you sure you haven't changed your name to Dave Evostick Taylor?
Not just yet, but watch this space.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time.